All right, welcome back to History's Great Mysteries. I'm your host, Nick, and if you listened to last week's episode, you probably have a good guess at what I'll be talking about today. See, last week I did a really cool episode on history's greatest lost inventions. In my research for that podcast, time and time again, I kept coming across the same name. And clearly, this individual had a lot to offer the world, and still, perhaps much more that was never fully realized before he left this world. Even beyond his unarguable brilliance, the story of his life is filled with excitement, mystery, strife, success, and conspiracy, all of which seem to compound with the strange occurrences surrounding his death. All things considered, these factors undoubtedly created the legend of one of the most interesting scientists to ever walk this earth. Today, I will take you guys on a journey through the life of Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was born in Smiljan, Croatia on July 10, 1856 as one of five children. His mother and father were both devoted to raising their children, but in slightly different ways. His father, and I'm probably going to butcher this, Milutin Tesla, was a Orthodox priest at the local church, and from a very young age, he pushed Nikola to join the ranks of the church and maybe even one day also become a priest. His mother, Juka, on the other hand, was an exceptionally handy and clever woman who would oftentimes create her own little inventions around the house to help with chores. In all likelihood, this is what spurred Nikola in his youth, as he was introduced very early on to ingenuity and creativity to push the envelope of the world around him. As a result, in his early education, Nikola immediately showed an aptitude and interest in the sciences. The most surprising event, probably, from his childhood would be when he witnessed the death of his brother, who died in a riding accident. Since that event, Tesla said that he could see the mystic side of things, often explaining that he could see visions and energies around people and things. This is said just to give you an idea of just how truly unique Nikola Tesla was as a person and how truly unique his mind was. Upon entering college, Nikola jumped around a bit, taking courses at several universities, including a polytechnic school at Graz and the University of Prague. It was at this time that Tesla was first introduced to the somewhat limited technology of electricity in his time, and where he began to ponder different ways to improve upon this technology. Also around this time, he was hired in a limited capacity at a local central telephone exchange company, where he secured some first-hand experience in this field. See, the first stroke of brilliance in Nikola Tesla's life was that of the alternating current, an idea that he fiddled around with and took his time perfecting during this period in his life. When he was introduced to electrical energy, it was solely energy that was of the direct current form. So that's what he had in his time, direct current energy, or DC energy. And even then, it was still in its infancy, and Tesla immediately was like, okay, there's got to be a different way to do this. And he started researching alternative methods for power generation. And now I can understand, myself included, that the last thing you want from this podcast is like a high school physics lesson. So I will be brief with like the science behind this stuff. But essentially, a direct current sends steady voltage in a constant direction, you know, through wiring, through a conductive wiring path. And Tesla once watched a lecture and a demonstration of this occurring in one of his classes. And that's when he first came up with the idea of a superior alternating current, or AC, that could change both voltage and direction of current, and then in which in turn could then offer countless different opportunities for use and application of energy. And then the problem was that at this early point in his life, he was one, actually, you know, he couldn't really create this technology, and then two, he couldn't get someone to buy into his scheme and offer him money for the research to create it. So he had some problems with applying his idea, but he had the idea pretty early on. After several years of no luck on either front in Europe, Nikola Tesla eventually made the decision to move to America in 1884 at the age of 28. So upon entering the USA, Tesla does not waste any time in immediately progressing his technology dreams. Armed with only a recommendation from a professor and the clothes on his back, Nikola Tesla walks into the place of business of the one and only Thomas Edison. And to make a long story short, Edison gives the young Tesla a chance to prove his worth, and lo and behold, Edison hires him on that very day. Thus, Tesla began working, making money, and exploring the cutting edge of electrical technology alongside the legendary Thomas Edison. During this period of his life, Tesla took pride in improving upon many of Edison's previous inventions, and again, he's only in his 20s at this point, pretty early on. Unfortunately, though, Tesla was not unsuccessful, he was unsuccessful in convincing Edison to pursue his own ideas. Like, he couldn't get Edison to buy into anything that he actually wanted to research. And so, as it turns out, this partnership was somewhat short-lived, and Tesla parted ways from the company less than a year later. Many historians chalk this up to, one, like I mentioned, Tesla had little freedom to pursue his own ideas, but then also, two, the two men, their personalities were said to be completely different, the furthest apart that they could possibly be. Edison was said to be controlling, hard-headed, and like a natural-born leader, where Tesla was regarded as reserved, zany, self-driven, and then maybe a little bit more vulnerable. Later that year, in 1885, he finally ventured out into his own research when he created the Tesla Electric Light Company. It was here that he began creating and patenting his first inventions. Some of these inventions caught the attention of investors, while others didn't. It seemed that from an early age, Tesla had a knack for creating something incredibly useful that would garner him tons of fame and fortune, only to spend all that money a year later on a new and crazy invention that could receive no funding and would go nowhere. And this seemed to be his pattern, and, you know, early on in his life, it did hold true. He managed to improve upon the arc lighting technique that was used in street lamps, which made him actually kind of a small fortune when it was bought, when the patent for that technology was bought and utilized throughout New York City. This was his first truly successful invention, or, you know, should it be said, an improvement upon a previous invention. But he fell upon hard times only a few months later when he couldn't get anything else to catch. For a short time, he actually had to resort to hard labor that included digging ditches and other odd jobs to pay the bills. However, his grand idea for alternating currents, so we'll go back to the alternating currents idea, it was still driving him forward, and eventually he finally put together some working prototypes. In May of 1888, Tesla makes a historic public lecture before the American Institute of Electrical Engineers in New York, where he introduces the alternating current technology to the world. Shortly thereafter, Tesla finally had his big break when he was approached by a formidable businessman, George Westinghouse, who wanted to buy several of his patents. And this was interesting for a few reasons. Firstly, this gave Tesla some much-needed funding to improve his laboratory and research, and then secondly, this man, George Westinghouse, actually turned out to be the perfect business partner. And that was also for a couple of reasons. George was an inventor himself, and he was actually most well-known for creating the railway air brakes, but he was also well-known for pushing the technology of alternating currents. But perhaps most important of all, he was the rival and direct competitor of Thomas Edison, who at this point is still pushing for his DC direct currents upon the masses. With Tesla and Westinghouse side by side, they stood a chance at pushing AC currents over the tech titan that was Thomas Edison at that point. There was some heated competition here for a while, but a big win for Team Tesla came when in 1893, the World Columbian Exposition in Chicago chose AC technology to light the venue and then allowed Tesla to present on that technology. This was a big sweep that started the ball rolling in the right direction for AC technology, and from there, the rest is history. Today, alternating currents AC is by far the dominant energy technique that supplies electricity and power around the world. You, when you turn on your light switch, you're utilizing AC technology that was invented by Nikola Tesla. It was about this time in his life that Tesla could have been said to, you know, be in his prime. He was financially stable, and thus he had the freedom to pursue some of his more outlandish ideas, I guess you would say, some of which did not quite pan out the way that he hoped they would. But some did. I mean, some were outlandish, but he had a kind of a reputation of being brilliant, of being a brilliant inventor. So when he came out with these ideas that many at first glance would say that's impossible, some kind of take it a step further and say, okay, maybe we should look at this because, after all, it's Nikola Tesla who's saying it. For instance, Tesla began to venture into radio technology, which also eventually led him down the path of radar technology, both of which Tesla is heavily credited for having a hand in creating. When it came specifically to the radio, if you were to Google who invented, you know, radio technology, it would be credited to an Italian physicist named Guglielmo Marconi. But that wouldn't be exactly correct. I mean, sure, there was a heated war between Tesla and Marconi to see who could invent a usable radio first. And, of course, both men offered brilliant ideas, but it's also true that Marconi stole ideas directly from Tesla's patents. Later, actually, the U.S. Supreme Court did indeed revoke some of Marconi's patents for being too close to the technology that was originally introduced by Tesla. But anyways, another reason Tesla is not often credited with the invention of the radio is because his work was hampered severely when a fire at his laboratory in 1895 destroyed everything. But he continued on in a new laboratory a year later, where he eventually created his famous Tesla coil. This Tesla coil was an induction radio wave generator, and that sounds very complicated, but it's kind of pretty simple. It's like this generator of electricity that could send and receive radio waves at long distances. And he actually famously demonstrated this once when he put a remote control boat out to sea some like 2 kilometers offshore, and then he remotely controlled its movements using radio signals from his Tesla coil. And, you know, actually talking about this brings back like a repressed memory of mine, because when I was in elementary school, actually, I partook in a science fair where I like really buckled down and I spent a lot of time researching something that I was finding really interesting, which was radio waves. And I was like really ready the day of the science fair. I arrived to the library early. I had all my materials like already set up in the library. And then when I arrived there, I find that someone had stolen all of my remotes and my receivers that I was going to use in my presentation. And it like destroyed me. I spent so much time and I didn't end up presenting anything that day. And I was such a sad little boy. But anyways, maybe I can use this podcast as a way to kind of right the wrong here, so to speak. But anyways, back to Tesla. We have now covered two of his like most famous inventions thus far, the alternating current and the radio via the Tesla coil. And it seemed that his life progressed. As it progressed, he became more and more confident in his ideas, pursuing everything from the simplest improvements upon already existing technology to the most new and outlandish evil scientist idea that you've ever heard of. For example, he once made a trip to Niagara Falls where he created the first AC hydroelectric power plant, which was kind of an extension, an application of his AC technology. But when it came to like his unique power generator, the Tesla coil, he actually used that technology to dive into even more areas of research that made big leaps in our understanding of X-ray technology, microwave technology, and even wireless energy. Now, if you listened to my episode last week, you already know a little bit about wireless energy, but essentially, he believed that it was possible to transmit electrical energy safely through the air rather than use any kind of physical wiring, right? And I named this as one of my famous lost inventions because even today, we don't really have that. We have physical wiring. When you hit a light switch, you have conductive, you know, energy that's traveling all the way up to your light bulb. But he imagined wireless energy that could travel through the air, and really the only thing that we have close to that right now are those little like smartphone pads where you can put your smartphone down and it charges it on just a little surface, and that's very short distance wireless energy, an example of it. But he believed about it on a grand scale. And so what happened was that he made a deal with the famous banker J.P. Morgan at the time, who originally only gave him funding to make a large tower for radio signaling. And this tower began construction on New York's Long Island with the original intention that it would just be used to send long-distance radio messages to ships far at sea. And this Tesla coil tower, actually became to be named the Wardenclyffe Tower. But Tesla had grander ideas in mind, to say the least, about what this tower could be used for. He believed that it could be the necessary component to generate enough power to give wireless energy to all of New York. And so he had an idea that he could use this Wardenclyffe Tower to supply all of New York with wireless energy safely again. It doesn't sound safe, but he insisted that it could be safe. And so when he pitched the idea to J.P. Morgan, that, you know, it was his source of funding, he ultimately was turned down. And J.P. Morgan said, you know, okay, like, this is just a bit too outlandish for me. I'm going to have to turn it down. You won't get funding to fund this idea. But a lot of people say that maybe J.P. Morgan had a little bit more selfish of a reason, in that it was known that he had heavy funding in alternate energy sources, that this kind of energy source, this wireless energy, would absolutely diminish his funding in. So with that, I will now introduce you guys to several other mind-bending Tesla ideas and inventions that never really saw the light of day for one reason or another. Like I said, in the latter part of his life, Tesla never really shied away from his more kooky ideas. There are some first-hand reports from those that assisted Tesla in his laboratory about his zany nature, but mind you, not many people did work with him because he was a very isolated and like self-reliant inventor. Many of the ideas only really existed in his mind and required no kind of outside advice, but it sure did raise some eyebrows when he began working on the infamous thought camera, which he claimed could record and photograph the mental images in one's mind. And it sounds crazy, right? A device that could relay photographs of what you're thinking. Like right now, picture a banana, like right in front of you. And Tesla claimed that he could create some sort of apparatus that could record that mental image of that banana and then display it to the outside world. And the science behind it, you know, was fringe, and frankly, it's very hard to understand. But Tesla believed that it all centered around the fact that when we are imagining something, there's a definite real image that is formed somewhere within the retina. And while that image is not perceived by our actual eyesight, it's there nonetheless. So he thought that we could take, you know, some sort of apparatus that could record that definite image somewhere in the back of the retina and then mirror it outside to the physical world and show it. And then your thoughts would be, you know, out there for everyone to see. But needless to say, this particular idea never really got off the ground, and I just attribute it to the fact that there's so much that we still need to learn about the physiological process of thought and how we form thought, and, you know, even what it means just to be conscious, let alone where these mental images are forming in the brain. And I'm actually going to take another short detour, and I think it's important because this reminds me about a thought experiment that I once did with my old philosophy professor in college. And essentially what he did, and I want you as the listener to go through this thought experiment with me as well. He said, everybody close your eyes and picture your front door of your house vividly, with as much detail as you can. Picture your front door, picture the doorknob, picture the color, the steps leading up to it, the indentations, everything about your front door. All right. So you, I, me, everyone closing their eyes and doing this thought experiment is picturing this beautiful front door in their mind, right? But think about this. If the most brilliant scientists, surgeons in the world were to, excuse the gruesome nature of this, if they were to take your brain out of your head and then dissect every last molecule of your brain, they at no point would ever find a picture of a door. You know, they would only ever find biological material that wouldn't ever actually be a picture of the door. Like, you know, in your brain, there's synapses firing electrical impulses, but there's no actual image of a door. Nonetheless, though, you, I, me, everybody has just pictured that door. It's real in our mind, but it's not legitimized in the outside world. There isn't a actual door anywhere if you were to dissect your mind to the very basic building blocks. And, you know, sure, you can explain some of this by, we don't really understand everything there is to know about the brain. Yeah, that's true. But a lot of people take this kind of thought experiment and say, you know what, this kind of proves that there's more to life, to the world, than just our body and like what we know scientifically. Like, there's more legitimate things out there that aren't tangible. It's intangible stuff. It's almost proof, quote unquote, of like that there is more, that there's a soul, that there's something behind us all that cannot be scientifically explained, that is there all the time, that we can grasp at, we can sometimes think about, but we can't actually ever scientifically prove it. And that door, that image of a door that could never actually be shown anywhere, but you can see it nonetheless, is kind of, you know, maybe proof of that. And I thought that's a really cool thought experiment. But anyways, the idea that Tesla wanted to create a thought camera to record mental imaging is a bit out there for sure, but this just gives you an idea of the type of innovation Tesla wrestled with every day. And again, this guy is a pure genius, so it's not a stretch for me to say that perhaps many of these seemingly outlandish ideas were not actually all that impossible. Just to prove the level of genius here, I will list off just like a few quick facts. Nikola Tesla fluently spoke 8 different languages, including English, Czech, Serbo-Croatian, German, French, Italian, Hungarian, and Latin. It was also well known that Tesla had a perfect photographic memory, and that allowed him to read a page of a book or a journal and then immediately commit it to long-term memory storage. And this goes back to why he didn't really have a ton of his research written down or drawn out on any kind of blueprint. And it's because he could simply reach into his mind and pull out the information that he needed at any time. And he could keep the ideas of his inventions in perfect alignment for years on end. Tesla rarely slept, which is something we see out of like a lot of geniuses, it seems like, is that they almost never get like a full night of sleep. Their mind's working too much, I guess. Just his close friends and coworkers could report that he would be up and around his labs for sometimes like two days straight at a time. And he might like drift in and out of day naps, but he himself said that he would almost never sleep more than 2 hours at a time. And interestingly enough, there's also a newspaper clipping from the New York Times of an interview with him in which he accurately predicted the advent of smartphone technology. And this was like, you know, almost 100 years ago. So the exact quote is, "It will only be necessary to carry an inexpensive instrument not bigger than a watch, which will enable its bearer to hear anywhere on sea or land for distances of thousands of miles." And this is pretty much exactly what cell phones are. This kind of foresight could only come from an individual such as Tesla, to put it into perspective that we're really dealing with a one-of-a-kind scientific mind. Another crazy invention of Tesla's that will, you know, never really made it mainstream, I guess, was that of the mechanical oscillator earthquake machine. And this one was created mostly by mistake, but the story goes that one day Tesla was in his laboratory fiddling around with this mechanical oscillator that essentially just like vibrated to create electrical energy. And when he set the vibrations to a certain frequency, a very specific frequency, he reported that it created a small area earthquake underneath his lab. And when asked afterwards about the incident, and this is exactly what Tesla had to say, so I'm reading a quote here. "Suddenly, all the heavy machinery in the place was flying around. I grabbed a hammer and broke the machine. The building would have been down about our ears in another few minutes. Outside in the street, there was pandemonium. The police and ambulances arrived. I told my assistants to say nothing. We told the police that it must have been an earthquake, and that's all they ever knew about it." So Tesla apparently believed that he had set the frequency of that machine to a very special number that could create a reaction in the earth. And he kind of took this idea and ran with it, theorizing that a similar machine could be used by maybe geologists or researchers to find out more about the nature of the earth beneath our feet. However, my first thought when I heard this was, you know, oh gosh, this could be used for evil, or maybe a better word is like an aggressive purpose, like in war, to knock down buildings. And it is known that Tesla messed around with similar thought ideas, like similar thought processes to create, I guess, to take his inventions and create a war application for them, and you know, take that as you will. It is known that at one point he was fiddling around with the idea to create artificial tidal waves that would be capable of leveling coastal cities, and you know, that's a scary thought to say the least. And actually this went further for the boat idea. So if you remember, I talked about that remote control boat that I mentioned, which he used to demonstrate his radio waves. Well, it's known that he wanted to take this idea further by creating an entire fleet of remote controlled warships for use in warfare. And this brings me to one of the more controversial Tesla ideas, and it's an idea that's most commonly referred to as the death ray. Yeah, that's right. Tesla reportedly created a sort of death ray in the later part of his life. The science behind this was that one could harness the mercury isotopes and launch them outwards at 48 times the speed of sound to produce a high-energy condensed ray that could demolish enemy structures and vehicles at unimaginable distances. In fact, he claimed that the only restraint on distance would be due to the actual curvature of the Earth. Tesla solicited this technology to several countries, hoping that their military would be interested. He actually called this invention the Peace Ray, and that whoever possessed it would be so unmatched in war that war would become useless and it would bring about a time of peace. This is obviously debatable, and as it turns out, the only government that took interest in this idea was Russia, but it seems that nothing really ever came from it. Despite this, it is well known that Nikola continued to improve upon his little ray right up until the final days of his life. As I alluded to earlier, the end of Tesla's life is marred in controversy, and there's a bit of sadness to it as well. As he reached into his 70s, things began to change for the Croatian inventor. He began to seclude himself more and more into the shadows, eventually making a permanent residence for himself in hotels. Nikola Tesla never married and accepted very few visitors, so as a result, he spent most of his final days alone, either in his hotel room, eating room service meals, or in his workshop. He also began to develop a sort of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, that centered around the number 3. He would insist that all hotel workers maintained a exact 3-foot distance from him and bring him exactly 3 napkins with his meal. He would walk 3 blocks around his building every single day. And do you remember when I mentioned the death of his brother in his childhood? Remember how he said that that triggered a sort of like mystic sight in him, that he could see energies and visions? Well, this really expanded later in his life, and he developed a sort of obsession with pigeons. On his daily walks, he would stop and feed pigeons every single day, and he claimed that he could see their energies, and as a result, he could have very meaningful interactions with them, and many people joke like he preferred people to, or he preferred pigeons to people later in his life. He actually claimed once that he fell in love with a pigeon on one occasion, and the most the outside world really got to see of Tesla later in his life was on his birthday every year on July 10th, when he would hold a public press conference updating the world on his newest revelations and inventions. When he turned 79, he announced that he created a pocket-sized oscillator that could level the Empire State Building at the push of a button. Also, he would continually make new statements about the progress of his peace ray, which he was supposedly perfecting later in life. As a funny aside, Tesla actually once paid an overdue hotel bill with a physical model of his peace ray. He placed it inside of a locked box and gave it to the hotel staff, informing them that the ray inside could bring about, you know, untold horrors to the world, and that they should never open it under any circumstances. Understandably fearful, the staff complied and stored it away in a storage room. And years later, investigators would come in and pry open the box, only to find that it contained nothing but old and useless electrical equipment. But anyways, at the age of 81, Tesla was making one of his daily walks when he was unfortunately struck by a taxi cab and sustained serious injuries. Tesla had a rule of never consulting doctors, and so the details of his injuries are somewhat unknown, but it is accepted that he never really fully recovered from this incident, suffering from extreme chronic pain and back problems for the remainder of his days. Shortly thereafter, Tesla also came down with pneumonia that dragged on him for years. On January 7th, 1943, Nikola Tesla died in his hotel room at the age of 86. The cause of death would later be listed as coronary thrombosis, which is a fancy name for a blood clot in the heart. Unfortunately, the nature of Nikola Tesla's mind, being that, you know, he constructed mental blueprints for many of his ideas, his death marked the loss of perhaps hundreds of potential inventions and technologies that he had only kept up there. But that being said, though, he did possess many writings, scribblings, and materials around his workshop, much of which represented the culmination of his lifelong works, including the infamous death ray. Upon hearing of Tesla's death, the United States FBI instructed the Office of Alien Property to immediately seize all of his belongings. Swiftly and surely, they did so, immediately classifying everything for the belief that it was of the utmost importance that none of his technology fell into enemy hands. There was one problem, though. In his will, Tesla left all of his belongings to his nephew, Savo Kosanovich. Initially, the US government refused to return any of Tesla's belongings to their rightful owner, Savo. And their reasoning behind this was that they didn't trust him. They believed that his loyalties lied outside of America, and therefore they would just be giving the information to foreign enemies. After a lengthy court battle, Sava finally won, and the government was forced to return Tesla's belongings that included all of his writing and files that was left at the time of his death. However, all of these belongings, when they were originally packed into storage trunks, they were said to have been packed into exactly 80 storage trunks. Like that is the amount of stuff that Tesla had at the time of his death. But when Sava finally received these trunks, he found that there was only 60 there, which means that there was still a fair amount of stuff unaccounted for, about 20 trunks worth of stuff. And the U.S. government played the, oh, we have no idea what you're talking about, we don't have anything card. But get this, it was recently discovered that the U.S. military did indeed secretly tinker around with warfare particle beam technology shortly after the death of Tesla, which, you know, is eerily reminiscent of his death ray technology. Also, the 1980s Office of President Ronald Reagan released a strategic defense initiative program that outlined many ideas that are also very similar to that of Nikola Tesla's ideas. Is it possible that the U.S. government has secretly kept some of Tesla's most important innovations for classified research of their own, never to be released to the public eye? To this day, much of Tesla's research, especially research that took place later in his life, is still missing. And the imagination can race for hours thinking about what lost information possibly could have been running through the legendary mind of Nikola Tesla. And with that, I hope you've all enjoyed today's episode on one of, if not my absolute favorite historical figure. His name is not as easily recognizable as that of, you know, Thomas Edison or Albert Einstein, but his work was undoubtedly instrumental into the shaping of our modern technology. Tesla offered so much to the world, and perhaps even so much more that we will never really know, that never really came to fruition. I mean, it's anyone's guess as to the information that's locked away deep within the depths of the U.S. government, but regardless, Tesla was an incredible figure with an incredible mind and an incredible life. It's no wonder that Elon Musk decided to name his groundbreaking electric car company that, you know, we all know, after Nikola Tesla, and now we see Teslas on the street everywhere. And those cars are direct results of the progress that was made in the realm of electric technology that was offered by the amazing Croatian inventor Nikola Tesla over 100 years ago. As always, the sources and materials referenced in this episode will be listed out on my Facebook page titled History's Great Mysteries. And I hope I can see you guys over there, you know, chiming in with your thoughts about Nikola Tesla, but also maybe just some advice on my podcast in general, like what can make it more enjoyable for you as the listener, because, you know, that's why I'm doing this. After all, this podcast is still in its infancy, so I'm open to any and all ideas and any directions that I can take this. But in any event, I hope that you have enjoyed this episode today. And as always, I have some big plans for future episodes, but unfortunately, I will announce right now that I will be taking a two-week break from recording. So two Thursdays from now, be looking out for episode 7 of History's Great Mysteries. Thanks again, guys, and I will see you next time.